Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Let's Talk What Worked. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Tonight, I want first of all to say the music you just heard, we do not have the rights to. Also, we're going to ask you to please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air tonight, out of rotation, on a very serious issue. I typically am someone who would not address something like this, and I haven't for quite some time, but tonight, I found a need to it, or this week even, I found a need to it, I mean, a need to address it. That said, I have gotten what I call harassment, stalking, and cyberbullying from someone on Facebook, and the repeated attention is directed at me and this show. The posts are being made by a person that I consider a stalker, and they have been posed that I feel were intended to harass, annoy, torment, and even alarm. That said, this has gone on since at least March of 2023. Started out that I made a post on Let's Talk Fort Worth and included some images of some homeless camps in Fort Worth. The post was originally posted by Smash the Topic. I just reposted it and put some comment on there about the fact that, you know, we should not have people living in homeless encampments. After that, someone by the name of Reggie Gardner, who works for the Salvation Army here in Fort Worth, and the user of a fake Facebook page by the name of Amy Nguyen, commented on the post. They accused me of not knowing what I was talking about and the fact that I was not genuine in my concern for the homeless. That said, anybody who follows this show knows that Carrie Hines has a concern for the homeless population in this city and is always advocating that we do more, that the city does more. So that was strange to me because I thought, well, obviously they don't know me because I'm someone who is always, you know, thinking of how can we as a community, how can the city do more to help the homeless. So after a couple of exchanges with both Reggie Gardner and Amy Nguyen, I decided to block both of them because I'm not someone who does the back and forth on social media. First of all, this person had a profile pic that's an avatar character. You know, so who am I really arguing with? You're someone with a fake page and an avatar character as a profile pic. So, you know, that's the definition of insanity for me to even be going back and forth with that person. So I block them. But the people who follow the page, or some of the people that follow the page, not everyone, but some of the people who follow the page, became interested in, like, who was this person, this Amy Nguyen? And they began to go over and look at that person's page. And that's when I began to get screenshots of things that that person was posting about me, the Let's Talk Fort Worth podcast, the co-host, the guests, and any comments that we made about the city or the leadership. So that began to, at first it was kind of funny. I thought, oh, okay, you know, this person is obviously obsessed with the show. And everything that I say, every word that I say, they're basically hanging on to it. But as the months passed on and the post continued, I became concerned. I became concerned because we're in the middle of a mental health crisis in this country. That said, I don't know who the person, did not know who the person was that was pursuing me repeatedly. Everything I said, they would critique the show. They called me nappy-headed journalist. They mocked Chris Marino's ethnicity and put, you know, cartoon characters of a Hispanic person and did the whole Babalu jokes. I don't find that funny because I am the type of person, I can get along with any group. I have, you know, black friends, white friends, Hispanic friends. I can talk to anybody. And so I feel like it's a small-minded person who makes fun of people's ethnicity and their hair type and things like that. I just really began to wonder what type of person are we really dealing with? Because it's one thing to critique the show. And honestly, y'all, I am somebody who believes in a good critique. I learn from people who can honestly come to me and say, Carrie, I listen to the show, but I disagree with this or I disagree with that. If you can show me where I'm wrong, I'm right there with you. I don't mind when someone says that they disagree because that's where you learn. But it's a different thing when someone comes in the spirit of harassing and tormenting and tearing down and belittling and spewing hatred and venom with racist comments, that's different. So since March, I've never responded, not one time, to this person, whether that was on Facebook or on this platform. I've never responded. And I believe on one show, Adrian began to mention what was going on, and I stopped him and said, we do not address haters on this show. We do not give them a platform. Tonight is the first time that I'm doing this since March. The person always seems to be annoyed when we talk about city issues or city leadership, which I find strange because this person alleges that they don't even live in the city, but it appears everything that they said on the page is a lie, you know, from their age to their location to where they work, you know, to everything, even their racial makeup, I don't believe is completely identified properly. So everything they said is based on lies. So there's so much deception in the way this person has presented that page. It's one thing to put up a fake page, but then to go into a whole nother building of a fake character is strange to me. And that's another thing that seemed very alarming to me, that they almost built a profile of the fake the fake person they presented themselves to be in the profile. So that's weird to me. I mean, it just gives me the creeps a little bit because a little playfulness, you know, if that's your thing, it's not mine, but if that's your thing, okay. But to repeatedly come for me for 6 months and cowardly hide behind an avatar character, enough's enough. And I began to screenshot myself everything, or copy the screenshots of everything that was being sent to me. And it just got to a point when I wasn't certain if we're dealing with the same person, because this person alleged that they were 48. What 48-year-old person time to critique my show every week, to critique my post on Facebook, to call out the co-host, to call out the guest, you know, on every word that they say? That became more than alarming, more than annoying, more than tormenting. It's almost like an obsession. And it really starts to bother me because one of my favorite movies of all time was Fatal Attraction. And I don't even watch TV today. I don't really do the movie thing because my attention span does not allow me to sit through 2.5 hours of anything. But that said, I realized in comparing this situation to the Fatal Attraction situation, and that happened after Adrian said, Carrie, she appears to be obsessed with you. And that shook me. It shook me because a lot of times, if you go back to that movie, people can look normal. They can be highly functioning, but at the same time, be poorly socialized and dealing with mental issues that have not either been identified or addressed. So I then realized I wanted to bring it public because, to me, documentation, I had an atheist friend years and years ago who used to say, carry documentation, be conversation. And I don't know where this is headed. It may be headed to court. It may be headed to, well, I won't even say wherever else that's headed, but it could be headed to court. So I felt posting online and documenting what was going on was the best outlet. The best outlet for me to let, first of all, others know that this was a problem that I was dealing with in silence. The only people that really, really knew about how bad it was bothering me were Adrian Smith and Christopher Marino. But, you know, to everyone else, I just, you know, pretended I didn't pay attention to it or it wasn't something that, you know, really bothered me. But I think where I'm at is this. I'm a Gemini, and I'm a Gemini for real. And Geminis are very analytical, and they're very strategic. Most Geminis will outthink you on any given day. And at first, I didn't put much thought into this because the person, again, didn't identify themselves. So I thought, you know, why bother? But recently, a follower of the show, I don't know if I want to call her name or not. I don't want to drag her into it. But she began to tell me some of the things that this person was doing. And she said, you know, she's referring to you as an advocate journalist. Yeah, and my hair is natural. And if you don't know, I am African-American. So she then began to look closely into who was Amy Nguyen. And that's when she came back that Amy Nguyen was really Amy Nguyen Bolton, a Houston attorney who works for the oil and gas company, Hillcorp. So armed with that information, I looked online for images of this Amy Nguyen Bolton, and I found an image. So I posted it online, and then all of a sudden this person began to respond that I was being very dangerous and very reckless with posting these pictures, and I was going to get somebody hurt, and I was going to ignite a fire, you know, which sounded very threatening. So I'm trying to understand. Now, this is the person that's stalking me. This is the person who's harassing me. This is the person who is attempting to cyber bully me repeatedly. But they tell me I'm going to ignite a fire. I'm going to incite something in Fort Worth, and I, you know, I could be in danger. So that's when I decided I'm going to send this person a cease and desist letter. I am also going to create a press release, and I'm going to send it to this person's job. And those are two things that I did this week. So I also plan to do other things, which I will not reveal at this time, but this is going to court at some point, simply because I am not certain that this person is not tied to downtown. Their background is that of a Texas attorney who works in the oil and gas industry. Our current mayor is a licensed attorney with a background of working in the oil and gas industry. I'm not sure if at some point their paths crossed, but this person has been very vocal every time we talked about the downtown leadership. So for one thing, I question if she's being fed information by the Fort Worth Police Department. I don't think she knows that I pay very close attention when these posts are sent to me, and some of them appear to be information being fed to her. To my knowledge, this is not anyone I've ever met. I very, very rarely make any of the Fort Worth events. So this is not a person I believe I've ever met. That said, it's awfully strange, some of the information that she seems to be privy to. So if this person, in fact, is being fed information from the Fort Worth Police Department and or our mayor, that makes this city sueable for harassment and cyberbullying and a whole bunch of other crimes. So I don't know who this person is. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, we do believe we know the identity, again, to be Amy Nguyen Bolton. But I will say to Amy Nguyen Bolton, who I believe is a certifiable witch, and I mean in the real form, you don't know who you're playing with. First of all, I'm a child of God, and I'm prayed up and covered under the blood. So all the witchy Jezebel things you deviled in, know that they are returned to the sender. That said, I pray for my enemies. And I'm going to quote you a couple of scriptures because I want you to know. I have thought about this thing long and hard. In Luke 6, 27 through 28 says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Luke 23 and 34, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean that. And so I plan to embrace Proverbs 24 and 17. "Do not rejoice when your enemies fall, and let your heart not be glad when he stumbleth. Your fall is near." And I won't rejoice because on some level, I feel this is a mental crisis in which you're dealing with, but I am not the one for you to have that meltdown with. I have dealt with this long enough, and I will not allow you to continually harass, torment, alarm, annoy any of those things any further. Now, if you want to continue to mess with my platform, with my brand, know that I'm coming for yours. You will not be able to be comfortable and make me miserable. Now, that's just not going to happen. So I'm going to suggest you go find somebody else to play with. I don't know Reggie Garner, but I plan to find out more about him and how he's connected to all of this as well. And I suggest to Reggie to disassociate at this point, because unless there is being some type of financial compensation coming to you from downtown, this will not be worth it. I don't even understand why y'all care about who I am, how I wear my hair, what I say on this show, or what I post on the Let's Talk Fort Worth page. I'm a whole grown person over here. And last time I checked, I don't know you from a can of paint. That said, one thing about this show is you listen voluntarily. We do not pull you by the ears and drag you over here to listen to us on Friday night. If you don't like the content, disengage. Go find something else to do. Go play in traffic. But I am a whole grown woman, and I don't play on the internet like a two-year-old. I don't have the time, nor do I care to engage with you. And I, on so many levels, I feel sorry for you. And when I was reading those scriptures today, I actually said a prayer for you. I said a prayer for you that you get your mental health check. That somebody who cares about you, hopefully you got a friend or a relative or somebody who cares about you, has the sense to tell you how stupid this all is. I mean, I would not allow any of my friends to do this. So I'm wondering, do you even have any friends? Because you seem like a very lonely individual, someone who is starving for attention and obviously trying to attach themselves to this, I don't know, platform? Me? What? I don't get you. And so I don't even understand, like, how someone comes onto your page on Facebook and then they lied and said, oh, this is about a misunderstanding Carrie and I had about the homeless. No, I don't know you. We didn't have a misunderstanding. I was on my page posting, and you and Reggie Garner, who works for the Salvation Army in Fort Worth, came onto my page and began to tell me that I was not being genuine about my concern for the homeless. That's how this started. And you began to post things that were mean-spirited, directed at me, telling me who I was and what my thoughts and concerns were, as though you knew me. And I chose not to go back and forth with you all and blocked you. So in the normal world of sane people, that would have been it. They would have probably told a couple of people, so-and-so block me, and that would have been it, but not you. You turned it into a whole, let's go for Carrie. But the question is, did you come and get on that post about the homeless encampment because you were concerned about the homeless? Or did you come because you were coming for me? Because I've seen some of the things that you say about the homeless, and they're not very nice. I've seen you say that you are in agreement with homeless camps being destroyed by the leadership downtown. That doesn't sound like anybody that's concerned about the homeless. And I've seen a lot of things that you said along those lines. So if you are in any proximity of working with the homeless, I suggest whoever has got you there needs to get you out of there, because it does not sound like you really have a heart and love for homeless people. Now, it really ain't my business what you do on your own time. And anybody who's dumb enough to let you work for them, they'll figure it out down the road, I guess. My concern tonight is that you leave me and my brand alone. Now, I am warning you, but I won't warn you again. I sent you the cease and desist letter. This is the last time. The next time, you will be being served. It's your time to go to court and properly identify yourself and then tell why the hell you spent your life or a portion of your life harassing somebody who doesn't even know you, nor do they care to know you. There's nothing about you that you and I would ever be friends. There is nothing about you that you and I would ever be associates. There's nothing about you that would have you and I ever be in the same circle. So that saying, why are you here? Why are you concerned about who I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, what I'm saying? Do you know that sounds obsessive? Like, in a really insane way? I don't know what your lifestyle is, but honey, I pray you find a church. I pray you find some leadership that can steer you past whatever this crisis is you're going through. And if you happen to be someone that's being sent by downtown, I pray you get a clue. I pray you get a clue that you're being used as nothing more than a janitor. And that's because downtown doesn't want their fingerprints on the dirty things that are being done. So you are the trash man. And I pray that's not the case, because I would pray we have better leadership downtown than to pit people against each other who don't even know each other. Again, I have no recollection of ever meeting you or knowing you or anybody who carries on like you. So fair warning to downtown, if you are in any way associated with this situation, I do plan to sue you. I do plan to sue you, because this has been well documented, not just by me. A lot of other people have these screenshots. A lot of people have witnessed this person's repeated behavior for months and months and months, and I never said a word. Never, either on this platform or via Facebook. So, to anyone who may know who this person is, personally, I pray you inbox me tonight. I have asked God to expose, reveal, and uncover where all of this is coming from. And you know what? He's faithful and he will. And I ask that my listeners stand in agreement with me, because the Bible says where any two or three touch and agree, it shall be done. So I ask that all of my listeners pray with me that God reveals, exposes, and uncovers this whole thing, because I think it's a cesspool when you get to the bottom of it. It's a filthy, nasty, dirty cesspool. Something that anybody sane would not be playing in. I just don't know why you care. I don't stalk other women. I just find this. I don't covet another man's gift. I think when you covet another man's gift, you're just slapping God in the face. And not appreciating the gift that he gave you, because the Bible says your gift will make room for you. And it almost seems like you're coming for me for my gift, and that's kind of sick. I've always had the ability to communicate with anybody on any level. I find the common denominator and the conversation begins. Obviously, you're someone I would consider poorly socialized, who obviously does not have a lot of friends, and I don't know your circumstances, and I really don't care to know at this point. I just want you to move on, and cease and desist, as the letter said, and I pray your family reaches you before it's too late, before you get yourself hurt by somebody on some level. Because when you're dealing with someone like yourself, the person who's on the other end, like me, does not know what they're dealing with. So I don't know if I should be guarded in a way that I need to defend myself if I see you, or if you're just some type of person who may come and stalk me and kill me. So you're putting yourself in a position, young lady or young man or whoever you may be, but we believe you to be Amy Wynn Bolton, you're putting yourself in a position in which, under the law, you have been identified as a harasser, a stalker, a cyber bullier, if that's a word. And that said, it's unlawful to do so. In fact, y'all, I served her the cease and desist letter this week. And the cease and desist letter reads this, just in case she pretends she didn't get it. Maybe she'll hear it tonight. It says, "Dear Miss Amy Wynn Bolton, you are hereby notified to cease and desist any and all further unlawful actions of harassment toward Carrie Hines in accordance with Federal Statute 18 USCS Section 266-1A and or state local statutes, including but not limited to harassing, stalking, and or bullying, and any action which consists of physical, verbal, and or nonverbal attacks meant to pester, harass, either in person or via written or electronic format, spy involving following or watching, cause distress through threat or of violence or fear of violence, and or call with intent to harass. Harassment is defined as the participation in a course of conduct directed at a specific person that serves no legitimate purpose, which would cause a reasonable person, under the circumstance, to be frightened, intimidated, or emotionally distressed. A person commits this crime of aggravated stalking if he or she purposely, through his or her course of conduct, harasses or follows with the intent of harassing another person. Therefore, you are hereby ordered to immediately stop any forms of harassment as your actions violate my rights under the law." That's it. That's the last warning I'm going to give anybody. The last warning I'm going to give anyone. I plan to file a bar complaint against you, at which time the real Amy Wynn Bolton will be required to identify herself and address whether or not she is guilty of said charges. So one way or another, you will be flushed out. So go ahead and lie to the bar so eventually we can get your license. So either you tell the truth that you were crazy and you did it, which still makes you unqualified to be a lawyer, or you lie and then jeopardize your license when you are identified with 100% certainty. So either way, I win. And I think any reasonable person would move on, because trust me, I'm not worth anybody's law license. I'm not. And if Maddie Parker in any way is connected to this, Maddie Parker will be getting a bar complaint as well. So if you're connected to the Fort Worth Police Department, we're downtown, everybody's potentially to be named in a lawsuit. I just want you people to move on. Whatever fun you thought you had with this, the Bible says all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. He also says, "Touch not my anointed," if you didn't know. So obviously you people don't read the Bible, but I do. And I am going to leave it here that, and y'all have to choose my words very carefully, but I ain't a scary person. And so if you ever decide to be crazy enough to come to my house, I think the Second Amendment covers that. If you ever come to my house, again, the Second Amendment covers that. So ceased from harassing, bullying, ignoring, tormenting, alarming me in any way on social media. Find you another set of friends, a dog or something, a cat, but I'm not that one. I have had it up to here. And whatever motivation you have had to do this, I hope it's worth your bar license, because you would have to be pretty stupid to jeopardize your bar license to harass somebody, because, again, it's a crime. And anybody with a law license is not supposed to be committing crimes, especially stupid crimes. Stupid crimes. And maybe they'll give you a job at City Hall, I don't know. But since you seem to be obsessed with the goings-on of Fort Worth, but say you live in Austin when you really live in Houston. Y'all, if y'all knew the lies, everything has been lied about, from the name to the age. You know, she says she's Amy Nguyen when she's really Amy Nguyen Bolton. I mean, She says she's Amy Nguyen when she's really Amy Nguyen Bolton. She says she's 48 when she's really 45. She says she lives in Austin when she really lives in Houston. She says she works in the bar business when she really works for oil and gas company. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Her profile pic is an avatar character. So do y'all understand what I'm dealing with here? So everything about this person is fake. But I always have believed, y'all, when people do the whole I spy thing and they say, well, I'm spying on this or I'm spying on that, but I'm really for this, but I'm spying over here. Y'all, all those double, like, back and forth things people do, like, that's crazy. That there's some form of insanity to be a spy and then pretend to be with this group when you're really with that group and you're spying on this one for that one. Yeah, it's awfully confusing. And so I feel the same way about someone who has a fake Facebook page and creates a whole profile around a fake personality, and they build on that every week with more and more lies. You're a compulsive liar, whether you know it or not. And the fact that you find some type of enjoyment or happiness from hiding behind a fake character to, and y'all, I'm going to, for the sake of y'all following and understanding what I'm talking about, I'm going to read to you some of the things that they posted. And these posts, y'all, can be found on the Let's Talk Fort Worth Facebook page. So for anybody that's trying to follow, well, what is Carrie talking about? Carrie's talking about these posts that this woman has been posting on this page, the Amy Nguyen page on Facebook. But they're very mean-spirited. And I just want to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. And this has gone on since about March of this year, where repeatedly they have made statements. I'm going to give you an idea of one. Give me one second. Now, this is what she said on one of her last posts before she recently took the page down on September 9th, which was last Saturday, and then brought it back up, I believe, on yesterday. She said, Carrie, that photo look like a 40, and she said, Carrie, does that photo look like a 48-year-old woman, which I am. They did not see it there first. This is my talk shit page, so I don't get in trouble in my real deal business. Sorry. So in my estimation, that person is saying, I created a whole page so I can talk shit about people and harass people, and then in my real job, they don't know I'm crazy. That's my translation. Another post she makes, she says, give me a second, y'all, I'm scrolling. She said, having spoken with some wise counsel. It's time for me to stop the fun and games with you losers and allow you to hurt yourselves with your foolishness. But I will be watching and posting serious stuff on my other forms of media. Again, y'all, on a whole fake page, talking shit to people. For what? What is the payoff? Another post that she's made, she's talking about Christopher Marino. She said, join us on Let's Squawk Fort Worth this week as my co-host, Christopher Marino, meaning moron and then O, will say a lot of words but really say not a damn thing. It's a great way to waste 2 hours of your life. Let's Squawk Fort Worth, 7 to 9 p.m. Fridays on Canado Radio. Nonada Radio. Okay, and then she says Babalooey, meaning making a racial slur at Marino for being Hispanic, and then having a cartoon character of a Hispanic person wearing one of those sombreros. She goes on to say, Let's Talk Fort Worth, was it really technical difficulties that kept people from calling in on your show, or was it the fact that your show is full of pretentious hogwash and you're not worth anyone's time? 2 weeks, two shows, two candidates for Fort Worth City Caps, for Fort Worth City Office. Just one listener calling in with a question. Pathetic. And Christopher Morano, meaning moron and then O, she says, you use big words, but you are dumb as, and then dot, dot. So I'm assuming she says dumb as fuck. Okay, so, you know, and this goes on and on. She says, seriously, the nonsense that some people post creating drama and issues that do not exist. According to those I know in Fort Worth, nappy-headed journalism at its best. You heard it first here, folks. Okay, nappy-headed journalism, really? Then she says on another post, audio problems, my butt. Y'all weren't saying anything that made sense anyway, Carrie. Let's walk forward. You know, y'all, I once heard Beyonce say, when people call her B, it bothered her because that's her nickname from people who are friends with her. And I feel the same way when this person uses my name. It feels very dirty. I don't know you. You're saying it in a way as though you do know me. And you're saying all these evil and nasty things. When Donnell Ballard was on the show the other week, she said, anyone else losing brain cells listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth? Wow, those two. And she's got a picture of two nerds sitting on the couch talking. That part. Well, girl, listen, I've been called a lot of things, but a nerd ain't never been one. But anyway, moving on. Then she says, my goodness, y'all, some fiber-line people. You heard it here first, folks. Let's Squawk Fort Worth. And that squawk, not talk, Squawk Fort Worth, making fun of my name, my show's name. And then she said, Let's Talk Fort Worth, the news reporting equivalent to Pinky and the Brains, Wine Maddox. Okay, and she just goes on and on. She says, some people see problems and saw that others just talk stupid because they are powerless to solve the problems. Let's walk forward. And then it says, in good hands with Allstate. That was in reference to me talking to Twisted Black and saying that he had a wonderful team of friends and that they covered him like insurance, like less, like a good neighbor, State Farm is here, that type of thing. I forgot how I put it on the show, but that's what I said, and I think that's in reference to that. And then she post an excerpt. She says an excerpt from Let's Talk Fort Worth, how to not save the day. So it goes on and on, y'all. You get my point. And so this is going on for months and months and months and months. And y'all, I'll be honest with you, I'm a very patient person, or I'm working on my patience. But typically, this little war thing a long time ago. But the older I get, the more time I try to listen to God before I respond to certain situations. And I've learned the rhythm of it. And when I pray now about a situation, it's always praying and then listening for where I believe God is directing me. And that said, every time I wanted to say something, I did not get the feeling like it was for me to say anything right then. And so the days turned into weeks, turned into months, and I did not respond because I did not feel that it was time. So this week, or the end of last week, it just felt like there was a release. Like it was time to say something, because sometimes people feel like silence is meaning that you're afraid. The truth be told, I'm afraid of very few things. I've always been like that. Never been a scary person ever in life. So that saying, don't take the silence for fear other than cautious fear. Fear that I don't know where your mental state is. But it's also a cautious fear that I must always protect myself because I don't know who you are. So don't ever think that your comments had me shivering to the point that I wasn't paying attention. Again, I was only concerned when you said that I was going to incite something in Fort Worth, as though you were referring to the police department, which made me then feel like you were attached somehow to Fort Worth PD, which has harassed me since 2011. So when you said that, it inferred to me that's what you were referring to, which then makes this very dark, which then makes this very multi-tiered, which then makes you someone, again, who should not be doing what you're doing and being a licensed attorney. So first of all, your level of attention to me is not natural. It's not natural. I don't know you. Don't care to know you. Would never want to associate with you. Would never want to be in a circle with you, ever. So that said, why you care? Why do you care? I don't care what you get up and do. I don't care who you sleep with. I don't care who you work for. I don't care who your family is. I don't care nothing about what you do. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing about what you do. I wish you the best, and I pray for you and your mental state, because you sound like you're fragile. You sound like somebody who is like walking on some eggshells before it breaks, because you sound like you're fragile. It's like twigs, as people can pick up twigs and they crack. That's where you sound like you are. And I understand, you know, we're in the middle of a mental health crisis. I do. And on every level, I pray for your mental health. But what I ain't going to do is let your mental health state put my life in jeopardy. That's what I'm not going to do. And what I'm not going to do is let all these people in this world, this world is, I'm not going to let your mental health crisis knock at my door and keep knocking at my door without cause. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. I don't think we've ever met. And if we did, I'm sure I quickly moved away from you because I detect spirits very quickly. And I'm going to say this. Your spirit is very dark. You allege that you came from New Orleans. You Jezebel. I pray for you because you're very dark. Everything about you appears to be dark and secretive and deceptive and lost. Lost, like a ship without a sail, lost. Because no grown person pursues another person. They don't know. I mean, listen, you're a grown woman being, you're a stalker. You are a harasser. You are a bully who hides behind an avatar character. If you don't see that you are like a brick or two shy of a load, let me be the first to tell you. You're a brick or two shy of a load on every level. Because if you think waking up every day, read what I post on Facebook and what I say on this show is the highlight of your week, child, you need something else to do. I ain't that excited. I really am not. For the most part, I'm one of the most boring people you'll ever want to meet. I just am. I'm not excited on any level. I do what I do. For anybody who does not follow the show and understand the show, I've been doing talk shows since 2010. I enjoy conversation. I enjoy starting conversation. I enjoy narrating conversations. I love learning. I love hearing other people's opinions. That's just what I do. I enjoy it on every level. That's how it is. I don't want anybody to hang on to every word I say. I'm prone to mistakes. I'm prone to being human because I am, and I don't feel comfortable with anybody who is that concerned about everything I say, and then fake concern in a way in which you hide behind an avatar cartoon and stalk people. So get your mental health check. Get you some friends. Find a dog. You know, get out the house a little bit. maybe go walk in the park, get some exercise, because clearly you need another release. And I'm going to ask you to don't even listen to my show no more. I know you say I need listeners, but trust me, if there was no other listeners in the world but you, I would be talking to myself. I don't want anybody listening to my show that it drives them so berserk that they got to get on the internet and talk about me every week. I don't want the kind of listener. For the record, y'all, since 2010, I've always carried a very intelligent audience, always. I've just been blessed that way. I've always had a very intelligent, articulate audience who I've always learned from. I always felt like if I was the smartest person on the show, then I needed a new circle. But God has always blessed me to have very smart, articulate people. He's always blessed me to interview great people and do great shows. I think I misquoted to Adrian. I have 900 shows. I think I have 400 and some odd shows. And all the time that I've done, because I typically only do one a week. That said, in those shows, I've been blessed to have some great conversations. I've been blessed to meet and talk with some great people, like you know, Joe Brown, who's now considered a mentor of mine. I was able to be mentored by the late Dick Gregory. I've really been blessed. I've talked to, you know, I don't seek out celebrities because that's not what I do. Those two people just happen to be celebrities, but I typically don't even do celebrities on the show. I just like real people, everyday people who are smart and are interesting. And so that's typically what I've been blessed with since 2010. I've had some very opportunities to be the first to scoop a story or first to get a scoop on the story, I guess I should say, many times, even before mainstream media, some really great shows. The situation with the billionaire, the Argyll billionaire's granddaughter being killed. I was able to speak with the family of the man that was accused of that. Sherelle Thomas, one of the biggest stories that ever came through Fort Worth, his family and friends and people that were close to him came on this show right after that happened. Still to this day, when that man's name is mentioned, the majority of the people who hear it know who he was. I've had some great, and I was able to get the scoop on that story before anyone else. And that's happened many times. I've just been blessed like that. But that said, I only want listeners who come here. First of all, we are a show that's informative and entertaining, and we opt to be, or we want to be, thought-provoking. We want people to leave knowing that they came here and learned something, or they came here and were entertained by what we discussed, or things like that. But I don't ever want a bitter, mean-spirited, evil person to come here and be a part in any way. I don't want you to listen. I don't want you to waste, as you said in one of your posts, 2 hours of your time. Baby, please don't. Go do the laundry, sweep a floor, mop a floor, do some dishes, but don't take the time to as you say, lose brain cells. Don't. Listen, we won't miss you. So this show is voluntary. If you choose to participate, it's voluntary. And we don't want anyone to come over here and not have enjoyed their time that they spent over here. If it turns out to be a bad experience, do me a favor, don't come back. Don't have two bad experiences. Don't have three bad experiences. That's the definition of insanity. We want people to listen because they enjoy what's talked about on Let's Talk Footwork. We want people to come and listen to the show, who can come and have a laugh with us, who can kick back, kick off their shoes, and enjoy 2 hours with us, because this is a ministry for me. I mean, anybody who knows me knows it's a passion. Anything you do for free and for this many years and you're not salaried to do it, that's a ministry. And so when I do this show is from the heart. I don't just do topics. There's many, many topics I pass on because I don't do a show. I do shows, again, that are thought-provoking, you know, that are entertaining and, you know, that leaves people informed. If it doesn't do those three things, I'm not interested in that show. And I'm not interested in any listeners who are going to come, who are not going to get anything from the show. If you leave this show and all you have is negativity, then please don't bring that here. Everybody is going through something in their life. I get that. But just because you're going through whatever you're going through does not mean that you should bring that over here at all. I am not your mama, ain't your husband, and ain't your friend. So you can't dump that on me. I don't care what you're going through. There are people in the world to address it, and it ain't Let's Talk for Work. Find you somebody's couch to lay on. Find you somebody who cares. Obviously, you don't have no family or something. I don't know, and it ain't my business. But find you somebody who cares enough for you to dump whatever this load that you got off on. But what you ain't going to do, and I miss that ebonically, y'all, what you ain't going to do is continue to put it over here without getting a clap back. Now, if you want the same type of energy to come back your way, I'll see you in court. Mm-hmm. I'll see you in court. I'll see you at the state bar. Mm-hmm. Because you are affecting my brand. You are defaming my character and my reputation. And that's what I ain't going to let you continue to do. So I don't care who sent you. I don't. But if I have to continue dealing with this, the other side of the Gemini comes out, because I've been more than patient with you. I have turned the other cheek many, many times, probably more than I should have. I have attempted to be patient with you because I didn't know how mental you were. So, or what your, let me rephrase that. I didn't know what your mental status was. And clearly, from what I'm understanding from people who are psychologists, I have a reason for concern. When I speak with other attorneys, I have been advised to file a bar complaint against you. When I speak with other people to say, am I wrong if I pursue legal action against this person, everyone agrees you have been more than fair. It's this person who has the problem. And so I'm in agreement 100% that this ain't going to go away until I make it go away. So, Jezebel, keep on sending your curses. The person who just sent me that text, can you send me what that means, what you just said? Someone just sent me a text and you know who you are. What does that mean? Am I cutting out? Let me go to Christopher. Am I being heard? Christopher.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Adrian, can you hear me?
Did you get my
I can hear you.
Okay. So someone said something, and I thought they were saying I was cutting out. But
write that number down.
No, I know the person who sent me the message. I was just trying to clarify what they meant. I thought they were saying that I was cutting out. But that's it. You both, Christopher and Adrian, have witnessed what I'm saying. Have I lied one time on this person?
No, it's just bizarre, mm-hmm. You know. And you know, it would be one thing, you know, if it was just somebody just, like you said, you were patient with it, you were people are crazy, so we it's a big wide world of, there's a lot of nonsense out there, but it's gone beyond nonsense, mm-hmm. And it really seems to me to fit, in with the whole modus operandi at downtown modus operandi, that mm-hmm. My sense is this is kind of there's a term called aide de camp. That means like a mm-hmm. confidential secretary, you know, mm-hmm. and because I just look at it long term, you know, long-term and globally as we've been dealing with this. And, you know, it just mirrors the same kind of vibe that you get with all of the narratives that come from Maddie Parker being welfare. Then next thing you know, no, she's the daughter of a lawyer and a dance, a ballet instructor, and you know, all of that. And it, you know, we've dealt with other people and we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but some other characters that have been tied downtown that have kind of fell through and had, you know, the mental health thing. And I'm just like, and that's where I've come to. And honestly, you know, I'm coming to a point where, you know, things are just so duplicitous. And like Adrian was saying, evil, you know, when he was getting marshaled out by the flying monkeys downtown, you know, you're evil. And that really, that's the only response that you can have is, I mean, man, if you go downtown, you better take some holy water.
You know what? It's feeling very demonic in this city right now. And this person appears to be witchy. I mean, really, in my opinion, and I will tell y'all off air how or why I say that. But, baby, when you playing with somebody who covered under the blood, your witchcraft or whatever that is that you do on your crystal balls that you put on your page, I think she put a crystal ball, a lady, you know, with a crystal ball in car wreck on her page. Dear, you do not know curses can be returned to the sender. So do not do that to a child of God. Don't be that dumb, because everybody ain't playing with the devil. But I do know the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And any curse that you send back to me goes back to you 100-fold. Know that. And so whoever sent you after me, for whatever reason you came for me, I'm going to pray that you find Jesus before you do something that, you know, could be life-altering or career-altering. I'm going to pray that you find Jesus. I'm going to pray that you some kind of way pick up a Bible or run into a preacher who can lay his hands on you and cast out them devils. Because the things that she posts are demonic and so mean-spirited, and she spews venom like a snake. That's just disturbing. And when I saw the crystal ball, and you know, knowing that she has allegedly a history of coming from New Orleans, and you know, that's the capital of witchcraft and, you know, voodoo and all those types of things. I just think that, you know, the devil has your mind when you think that's okay, and you think that that's the way that, first of all, you resolve a problem that you started. Like, I just want you to go away. I just want you to go find a life. I just want you to get, you know, when a cat comes to your house, especially a black cat, and you stomp your foot and you say, get, you know, as to tell the cat to get away and don't come back. That's the way I feel like, you know, just stomping my foot and saying, get. Because this black cat needs to move on before this turns into something that I'm praying it doesn't, because I'm a person that lives in peace. And I don't bother anybody. My posts, to be clear, are never directed at a person individually. When I talk about downtown, I'm referring to an elected official in an elected position who has a responsibility to uphold as a official person doing city business. I don't care what they do after hours. But when you have my tax dollars and you are making rules for this city, as a resident of this city, I have every right to respond. whether I go to City Hall or not. I do have my own platform, and I do have my own social media pages in which I address such things. But anybody who does not like what I say does not have to listen. And I invite you to leave, to take the next exit to the left. I don't want you to continue to care about anything I say. You are not my God. You are not my friend. You are not someone I care about. So your opinion, I'm trying to say, why do you care? Why do you have an opinion about what I say? Why do you care? Why would you care? Because there's how many people in this world? Like, why would what I say hit your radar? Because you came onto my platform and started a fight that didn't have anything to do with you. You alleged that you used to be homeless, that you are 7 months from being homeless and sleeping in front of the Union Gospel shelter in Fort Worth, allegedly. So if you're 7 months post-homelessness, how do you have time? Aren't you playing catch-up? Why would you have time to be on my radar, or me on your radar? It does not make sense. It everything about your story makes no sense. You're not 48. You're not 48. You know, you don't live in Austin. You don't work for a bar. You know, you just everything you say, your cartoon character picture, everything you say, it's just this huge creation which is a figment of your imagination. But I think they get people feel for them.
The other real eerie thing and the other real eerie thing and just I can't even fix a word for it, because you know we try to respect it, you know, and is this flavor of the week race thing that she plays, you know, like this post, this same person, you know, you dig in, and there's some post on there where she's talking about, where she's telling everybody that she's Filipina, Vietnamese, Black, Mexican, and then you turn the page or you dig something else up, and then it's a different picture of a different person, a different complexion, and then she's saying that, oh, my grandmother who is Korean, and I'm Korean too, and then. It's just so duplicitous, because she'll be talking about how all this diversity. It's like what you were talking about, the homeless thing. She talks about that she's a big time caretaker of the homeless and this and that, whatever. But then she flips the scripts and says, let's mow them down, you know, like get them out, you know, And, you know, there was some of that rhetoric coming from Reggie, too. That was what was weird to me. And then he's got some story about how he lived 7 years as homeless. And, you know, if you want to have it, the bottom line is it started up, and we were receptive to, you know, they came in just like anybody else would be. Maybe they just stumbled on the site, and we were genuine with them, and we tried to, like, have it an exchange. You try to have an exchange with them. And they just take it to this dark. They take it to the dark side. They didn't want to have any legitimate intellectual or any kind of rational dialogue. They just came in, and the other thing is it started off right during the election. As soon as the election came up, so it kind of gives credit. I mean, I would just take it as credit to your brand, because that. Like I said, it's an aid. I honestly feel like it's some kind of aide de camp or some kind of underworld agent of the people downtown, or some of the, you know, the people that are downtown. They have these operations, you know, and we see this same kind of thing happening. Now it's come out straight from the dais to where if you don't bow down, kiss the ring, and worship, you know, lick my feet, you know. however dirty they are, then I'm going to have the, my flying monkey marshals freaking remove you from City Hall if you got anything to say about the way the poop in my pants smells, you know?
Mm. You know what I think? This really sounds like the footprints of downtown, because downtown,
yeah,
especially recently, has got this thing about pitting people against other people. And I said this before, and I'll say it again, they're going to get somebody hurt. First of all, you don't send residents after residents. That's very divisive. You don't know the people's mental status when you're doing this. And so one person may set somebody else off, and it takes it to a whole other level. Or one person may perceive a threat, real or imagined, and act on that. You don't do that as leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen it done time and time again. We've seen, you know, arguments in the foyer outside of the city council chambers. You know, we've seen, I call them gatekeepers. The gatekeepers are people, y'all, who they will get up there and actually do speeches about other people. We've seen that done with the John T. White Neighborhood Association when they came the elderly white-haired guy. We've seen that done, you know, with other exchanges. Who did that with Thomas?
Well, they just gaslighted the hell out of him. They, instead of listening to understand or, you know, reaching out as a profession, as somebody who was over, anybody over 15 years old and is socialized to any rational standard, knows better than to get on camera and to do the kind of things that we've seen come out of Beck and Gina Bivens and Maddie Parker, to just have a freaking, to just come out of your skin like a mutant, you know, and just like, ugh. I mean, the demon just comes out as soon as you, and what it is they're sensitive. It, like I said, it's don't disrupt my vanity and don't rattle the tree of my guilty conscience, because, you know, what comes out of that is, you know, that's what we're getting.
Well, let me say this. I'm clear about gatekeepers. Let me redefine this. Gatekeepers are people I consider downtown uses to do their dirty work. So when
right.
a member of the council, okay, let me finish. Just please listen. When a member of the council doesn't want to get their fingerprints on something, meaning they don't want to get dirty with what they're wanting to have done, they get what I call a gatekeeper to do the dirty work. So the gatekeeper is someone who either comes downtown and says what they're going to say at the podium directed at a specific person, like the John T. White Neighborhood Association did to the elderly white-haired man, how Cliff Sparks did to the elderly white-haired man, and then Dan Haas and Cindy Boland have come for me. One time I spoke at city council, and Cindy Boland came to me via Facebook, and Dan Haas had the audacity to email me. And they both basically proceeded to address what I said and tell me how they didn't agree with it. Like, who are you? So... So those are what I call the gatekeepers. And so the gatekeepers will either come for you through their speeches downtown or email you or come for you on Facebook with basically speaking for downtown. And so I'm going to go on record downtown. That's not the way you lead the city. That's not the way you're supposed to be leading the city. And at some point you're going to get somebody hurt, because no resident has the right to address another resident about what they say about the city or the city's leadership. And if the city or the city's leadership does not have, y'all almost said balls, I mean, because that's what I'm meaning. So I'm just going to say, if you don't have the balls to address the person, you have no right to send another resident after another resident. And so that's cowardly. That's very cowardly.
Yeah.
And it speaks to poor leadership, because if I got a problem with anybody, I don't care how big you are, I'm going to say it. And I don't need anybody to say it for me. Social media, FYI, before I argue with an avatar character on social media, I delete them just as I did this person, because I did not see the point in letting somebody who's got a profile pic of an avatar character draw me out of character. I'm a peaceful person, y'all. And if you go back and you look at my Facebook page for as far as you can go back, you will not see me stirring up trouble. You will not see me picking at other people. You will not see me making mean-spirited comments. And if you inbox me and I don't know you and you're saying whatever you're saying, whether I agree or not, I will typically respond, interesting. Okay, I'm in. Kind of close you off and put that okay. So if you address me on social media, typically if I don't know you, fun says, interesting. Really? That's all you're gonna get. Because again, I don't know who you are and I'm not sure why you're bringing me what you're bringing me. So until I know you, you're not going to draw me out of character. You're not going to make me say anything that I don't want to say. Because social media, to me, is an experiment. So those who participate in it and act badly are not realizing they're part of an experiment. So social media is just a tool that I use to promote the show. But I don't go on social media talking about what I ate or who I went to dinner with or, you know, where I was today. That's just not me, and it's never going to be me. And so when Downtown sends people for me, all they're going to get is blocked. Now, it's odd that this person is in rare form because I posted several things on Marketplace, and immediately they sent repeated fake profiles. One after another, after another, after another, to respond to my posts repeatedly. Now, my question is, how would anyone know when Carrie posted on Marketplace? How would they know that? How would they know that I posted African Doors on Marketplace? How would they know that I posted African Mask on Facebook minutes after I posted it? And then becoming all coming from fake profiles, requesting my phone number. But I will say this to Fort Worth PD. Anytime you interact with me on social media and I did not call for you, that means that is under harassment. And the Memphis Police Department has been successfully sued by several Memphis activists for the same type of harassment and stalking on Facebook. Google it. So do not, I'm begging you, because this is going to court at some point, do not respond. If you are a member of law enforcement, don't buy nothing from me. I don't want your money. And I know you ain't even real anyway. Do not inbox me about anything I'm selling on Marketplace, because you have no right to. Your boss says that y'all are understaffed. Your boss says y'all understaffed by 100 and some odd officers. So my question is, how do y'all have time to be on Facebook stalking law-abiding citizens? So any further inboxing me, I'm going to serve the city with an intent to sue letter. And I mean that. And in the lawsuit, I plan to name the city, the police chief, the city manager, and the mayor, because I have long said that I've been harassed by you all, and nothing has been done. So the only way to resolve it is through the civil court. So fair warning, don't get in my inbox anymore. And to Amy Newland, you got the cease and desist letter. I'm not going to say it again. The next time we meet will be at the bar when I file the bar complaint that will be followed by a civil suit. Now, I don't know what you have gained in 7 months if you are 7 months post homelessness, but I plan to sue you for everything you got, every fork in the kitchen, if you continue to harass me on Facebook. And I mean that. So with that, I'm going to close out tonight because, y'all, this has been, it's been exhausting. It's been exhausting because I see so many people dealing with mental illness that I do realize it's way past concerning. And so I don't interact with people the way that I used to because you don't know who's at that point. So when someone who I don't know repeatedly comes for me and the manner in which this person has repeatedly come for me, it makes me wonder if we're dealing with someone in the middle of a mental crisis. If that is the case, get some help, but do not keep coming for me. Do not do it, because even a mental person cannot be trusted that they will not harm me. And so if you come for me repeatedly, that is the only conclusion that I can draw, is that you are a threat because you have become obsessed with me and my brand to the point that you are, I mean, you have been documented. You're documented for, you know, just being obsessed with who I am and mischaracterizing who I am and what I do and the show and the people on the show and the guests. It's really just to the point. You know, I pray for good listeners. I always have. I've always prayed for the right listener, because just as a church, a pastor knows that every member ain't his member. I realize that as a talk show host, every listener ain't my listener. And years ago, Robert Ashley asked me, "What's your demographic?" And I really had never thought about it when I started the show. What was my demographic going to be? And it looks like, I believe my strongest demographic is somewhere between 35, 55, I believe, something like that. You know, mostly African American, but I carry a mixture of Caucasian and Hispanic as well. But that said, I only want an intelligent listener. I do. I want people who are open-minded, you know, free thinkers, who are, you know, willing to learn something, willing to bring something to the table. That's the interaction I look for every week. And, you know, y'all listen, I've been doing this since 2010, you know, and in that I do it because I love doing it. But at the same time, it takes a little of the joy out of it when you have somebody who is so evil and mean-spirited and you don't know if they're mentally tormented or what their issue is, and they're just coming for you week after week after week. It's demonic. It's demonic on a whole other level that someone would care that much about what you do and what you say. I'm a very private person. I'm introverted for the most part. Do I have friends? Yeah, but for the most part, I'm a loner. and I enjoy my peace, and that's because I enjoy my peace. To me, it's peace over everything. I think that's why so many people are in mental health crises right now, is because they lack peace. I don't have that. I mean, of all the things that I deal with in my world, my 99 problems have not stolen my peace. I think anybody that will pursue me the way this person has pursued me does not have peace. They don't have God in their life. They don't know. They don't know the karma that comes with that. They don't know that what a man sows, he's going to reap again. They don't understand that there's always a way in which people can be discovered today. Technology is just that grand. There's no way that anybody can indefinitely, you know, hide behind an avatar character. It's not going to happen. So, again, today I ask that my listeners come into agreement with me that, first of all, God blows the top off of this thing, that the dam absolutely breaks, that God exposes, reveals, and uncovers all of this, whoever's behind it, what the motivation is, why me, and just really brings it to an end. Because as I really, you know, think about it, in the whole time I've been doing radio, this is the only person that's ever come for me, ever. Y'all, I was in business for almost a decade, and I never had one complaint filed against me. Why? Because I treat people right. On this show, if I talk about you and you are in leadership, it ain't personally attacking what you do after hours. It's dealing with what you're doing while you're in the seat, the city business. I don't care anything. I don't care about anything else. Now, if you're a leader and you feel like you're above reproach and that no one can, you know, say anything about the things that you do that they don't agree with, then I would probably would say elected positions are not for you, because anybody who's in an elected position is subject to people disagreeing with some of their decisions. That's just kind of how it goes. And so that, if you're so thin-skinned that you need to position gatekeepers to act as linebackers to knock down, destroy, come at, attack anybody who says anything that's different from your opinion, then you probably are in the wrong position. You probably are not meant to do what you're doing. Because if you feel that that's okay, if that's part of your leadership style, then there's a problem, Houston. There's a problem. And at the end of the day, I hate that there are people that are weak-minded enough to be gatekeepers. I hate that the world has people that are such followers that being a gatekeeper is an okay position for them. I hate that the world consists of people that can be easily misled, manipulated, you know, to do somebody else's dirty work, you know. But that's the times in which we live, whether that be they be motivated by money or whether they be motivated by somebody downtown calling their name or whether that be a fake friendship from somebody downtown, as long as you do my dirty work. I don't know what the motivation is, but I ain't never been a follower. It's just not me. And it would take a follower to be okay with what I just described. And in that, I think I'm going to close out. We will be back tomorrow night. But I felt led to put it out there this week because documentation beats conversation. And when I go to court, and if this continues, we definitely go into court. I don't want the person to say, oh, this is the disagreement between me and Carrie. No, 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 no. You've been talking to yourself for almost 6 months because I have never said a word via Facebook or on this show about that person. That's just how little I cared for addressing the issue. But after it just continued and got more vicious and it got, so personal, I really realized, you know, when she began to, she began to comfort Donnell Ballard. And this is the part that really took me to another level. Donnell was a guest of the show. But she began to talk about where he lived. Donnell Ballard is somebody that I have known for many years. Donnell Ballard is one of the most private people in this city about where they live. We used to joke at Donnell about how many times he changed his phone number in a year. He's just that private. But this person repeatedly, at least on two occasions, addressed where he specifically lived, the area of town, which almost feels like either someone in leadership downtown or the Fort Worth Police Department sent that person the information. Again, I've known Donnell for many, many, many years. And he's very private about where he lives and his phone number. But that person twice identified the area of town that they lived in. Now, how would they know that when Donnell never makes that public? He never says where he lives. And that's when things became very concerning for me because I felt that was the chip in the armor, that person had exposed that they were getting inside information from a source. Now, if you live in Houston, how would you know where Donnell lives? And it just doesn't make sense to know. You know, on every level, why would you look up where Donnell lives? I mean, no, it just doesn't make sense. And so the person alluded to in one of their posts that they were not saying everything they knew. Well, are you stalking me? Like, or is somebody feeding you information? Either way, it's unlawful. Either way, it's unlawful. And so, y'all have to choose my words very carefully. This town is starting to feel more like the Soviet Union in that everything is monitored, everything is stalked, everything is controlled. Yeah. And I didn't think we had Putin downtown, but it just feels like it sometimes. And that's dark. That's dark. First of all, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm somebody who's way over 21. And I've never been to court for a criminal matter. I've never been to jail. I've never even gotten a traffic ticket. And I'm way over 21. So, okay, y'all, somebody's saying it's cutting out again. Is it cutting out again, Adrian and Christopher? Because Mr. James is saying it's cutting out again.
No, No, I'm clear.
No, you're clear. You're clear.
Mr. James, that must be your phone. Because he said it's cutting
out. Hey, Carrie. Hey, uh-huh. Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, since you brought me back on. Hey, real quick. I just wanted to commend you for, you know, you've been, like you said, you've been holding on this to for some time now. So you finally addressing the matter. So that speaks volumes of your, you know, of you as a person, you know, an individual. And I'm not going to give validation to the person. I'm not going to even say the name, but to that individual, I know you're listening. We know you're listening. Try this for a change. Just do this. If nobody has hugged you in a long time or, you know, try hugging yourself. And then if nobody has told you that they love you, take time to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you love you. Because at the end of the day, you know, you invest in time and energy to come out to someone who was really using their life to not only shine light on darkness, but to bring about a change in purpose. As it relates to this everyday living, you know. So I feel like the criticism, you know, we get criticism, but there's criticism, and then there's bullying, and then there's stalking, and then there's, you know, everything else that comes with that. So this is that we know this is beyond criticism, you know. This is beyond criticism. So to that individual, and you heard your. You got to shine tonight, okay? You have been, the spotlight has been shined on you. If that's what you've been wanting, she's finally acknowledged you. So, I mean, hopefully your heart can tell you, you know, will lean you to another direction. And hopefully, instead of you being on the outside, on the sideline of criticism, you'll want to join the conversation sometime, because what we do, what Carrie does, is life changing, and it is not about her. She's really living a life of a servant, you know. So that's all I want to say, Carrie. Appreciate you for just, like you said, you didn't have to do it, but you did it. And to anybody out there who feels like, you know, nobody's concerned about them or recognizes, you know, that they're important, know that you are important. And if nobody's told you, know that the Most High God appears you're important. Okay, Carrie, I'm going to mute my phone.
Thank you.
So
I appreciate that, Adrian.
I just go on top of him real quick. I just sit there and say, why don't you just go ahead and take that bag of silver that downtown gave you and go shopping and leave, you know?
I agree. Because, you know, y'all, you got to realize everybody's busy today. I don't care what you're doing. Everybody's 24 hours in a day goes by like, you know, 12. Everybody's busy. So, you know, please don't take your time and your day to concern yourself with what I'm doing over here. Because, like, it's just, like, for real, I don't.
Well, you know the other, real quick, what come up, too, was I think the individual that you talked about, the people talking about where he lives and personally attacking him just out of the blue, you know, a blindside thing to where, you know, it's like what you said, just attacking people. And they had very intimate, familiar information about where he grew up or something, you know, where he lived. Well, those two individuals that we're speaking of both claim they graduated from Arlington Heights High School, too. And it's just real kind of funny to me. I think one of those individuals was talking about living in Ridgely, too, which is, you know, that's where Curzon Street is, you know.
I'm lost if you were talking about.
Well,
I'm lost.
About Ballard, about.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was his. That's the same neighborhood that they claim. So obviously there's paths that have been crossed to where this is pretty close to getting figured out to where, and all it takes is to put one person in the hot seat, and because Arlington Heights and Ridgely and the Salvation Army, those people deal with downtown. So I would just sit there and say, you know, not Reggie's smart enough. Reggie was smart enough to tap out and stay out. I don't know if it's Reggie that's pretending to be, but all it takes is you got Reggie in the hot seat just as a kind of thing to where, you know, put his name on it and get him deposed, you know, get him deposed, mm-hmm. and he will have to give it up. You know, I mean, that's you got enough right there to sit there and say, well, and that's connection. I mean, that's close to downtown. And it, I was just sitting here saying that it's always when you rattle or when we rattle or when we seize the carpe diem some scandalous issue and expose something with facts and very sharp criticisms for downtown, that seems to be when this jack in the box clown comes out to play, you know.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get ready to get out of here tonight.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person, Geminis have two sides. Geminis are very analytical, though. They may listen to you, and they may not. They may appear to agree, but at the same time, they're sizing up everything you're saying. We're very analytical. And a lot of people say, I study people very well. It's a gift. And so don't ever assume just because I'm silent, I'm not paying attention, because I am. And just because I don't say anything, don't take it as a sign of weakness, because I'm one of the strongest people I know. So, yeah, I am. And but I'm learning every battle ain't mine. And so everything I don't address because I don't kind of need to. Just because I don't address negativity, just because I don't address it doesn't mean I didn't see it. And just because I didn't respond didn't mean that I ain't paying attention. And so I just feel like some things are beneath me. You know, wisdom, you know, is a sign of maturity. And so I try to be wise in everything I do. I try to be very careful in everything I do because, you know, in my opinion, you live out your obituary. You live out your legacy. You know, what people will say about you long after you're gone. And what they won't say is that this was a Wendy Williams show. What they won't say is this was a Jerry Springer show. But what they will say is that it was informative, it was thought-provoking, and it was entertainment. But tonight wasn't meant to entertain. It really wasn't. Because on some level, if you knew the thoughts that have gone through my head on how to deal with this, you leave me alone. But because I'm God-fearing, because I know that he said he'd make my enemies my footstool, because I know he said he'd prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, because I know he said I'll teach your hands to war and your fingers to fight, because I know he said, I'll be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. I don't act on every impulse. So I'm going to leave it right there tonight. But trust me, you're picking the wrong fight with the wrong person. And just because I've gone 6 months and didn't say nothing, don't take it as a weakness. Now, you can play all your little childish games on the internet that you want to. But if any more comes, I'll see you in court. But we're going to the bar first. We're going to go to the bar, and I'm going to file that complaint. And Amy Wynn Bolton will have to respond to that bar complaint. And they're going to have to say whether or not it was them behind all these screenshots that I got. And so if you choose the lie, we know where that leads. And if you choose to tell the truth, we know where that leads. So any which way it goes, any which way it goes, you're going to be exposed. So today the final warning went out. I don't know if you heard the warning shot, but it was fired. And I ain't playing with you no more. That's it, y'all. We'll be back tomorrow night talking about gun violence. Also, upcoming show, we talk with former Councilwoman Kelly Ellen Gray today. We're going to be talking about the HIV and AIDS crisis in Perry County and Fort Worth. We're going to talk about numbers, prevention. Basically, I will leave y'all with this. She told me something that was very disturbing. She said it used to be known as a gay white male disease. However, the tables have turned. Now it's being known as an African-American woman disease and an African-American man disease. Ages between 18 and 29 are the number one carriers of HIV. So be safe out there, y'all. Be safe out there. So we can't wait to do that show with Kelly Ellen Gray and her crew over at the AIDS Outreach Center here in Fort Worth. I was just, like, floored today when I spoke with her about, like, oh, my God, how did we let this get away from us in the middle of the AIDS, the COVID pandemic? People took their eyes off HIV and AIDS, and you don't even hear people talking about it anymore. But that caused a lot of people not to get tested, you know, and now the health department is catching up with all those people who needed to have been tested during COVID, and the numbers are staggering is what I'm understanding. And so we can't wait to speak with her and her people over at the AIDS Outreach Center, where she's CEO over there. But, you know, I was just blown away by those numbers today, so I can't wait to have her on the show. But be back with us tomorrow night as we're going to talk about gun violence in the city and what needs to happen to bring it down. All right, y'all, until tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. Good night.